Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. We're back. This is lottery draft episode. Before we get this started, if you want to hear our show, you can follow us or listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any podcast platform you have. And if you like our content, you can listen, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, now TikTok. And if you want to see our beautiful faces, you can follow us and subscribe on YouTube. And if you like what you hear or don't like what you hear, please write a comment. We want to hear your thoughts. Only way we can make ourselves better. On that note, let me introduce you to my boys. Wow, that was a fast entrance.
Yeah, podcast. Sounds like you said podcast.
I know, podcast. I was stumbling my words.
Potty training.
Anyways, no editing in our show because that's what the Curfew Boys do.
We're live.
We're live. So let me introduce you to, we got Fireman Sam.
Hey now.
We got Ball Buster Sook, who's now bald and shaved.
Bald-headed.
Bald Buster. I'm a bald.
You're a bald buster.
I like that. Thanks.
And we got GQ Chris, but I want to say something. It might sound G-A-Y, and you know, that I love Chris so much, but I missed your hair before. I want to say that my house, when you came this week for the lottery draft, I just like that old look, you know, like that.
What was it before? I don't remember.
Not enough. This is fucking long, by the way.
This is look. This is
you
what
look, like, you look gonna... like. You look like Mar from Home Alone after he gets shot.
Listen, for today's episode, we'll do the crazy hair episode.
Don't feel bad because when our previous YouTube video, I don't know if you guys saw it or
which
if
one, the one that you had to go take a SHIT.
No, or... not the one that I take a shit. The one that before our watch party of the lottery draft, I open up the video right of me in my car before coming to your place, Anthony.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, and my hair is a fucking disaster in it.
You guys are killing.
Okay, the rest, today's the bad hair episode. Everybody.
The rest of the episode is fine. And then when we go back into your living room, your basement living room, my hair is like a fucking disaster all over again. So
the wind.
So all that, Chris, your hair looks fake. You look like you killed something. I just glued it to your scalp.
How? And I don't understand. My old hair looked fucking really like messy.
This episode about style and looks of hair. All right, let's get to the bottom of this.
What's the hair products for men? Head and Shoulders.
No,
Head and Shoulders. If you're hearing this,
that's a shampoo for dandruff.
On the knees and toes over here.
But yeah, okay. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, I know we're a majority of this are somewhat disappointed, but I mean, nothing to be disappointed about. We all expected this. All those stupid wins throughout the season, like Joey said, costed us.
Not just Joey, Tony Marinaro too. I don't know if you saw his.
Oh my god, that
clip! I died. But it literally looks like Joey when he's in his 50s.
Yeah, that
it was
Tony Marinaro, Joey, and yeah.
Damn you, Montumbo, for winning all those stupid games.
But wait, Joey's still wrong. Because you know what? The last place team didn't get the number one fucking pick.
That is true, too. Joey did say...
So if the Habs were last, Joey might, hopefully,
depending how long we go into this episode, he might show up later on. Joey didn't want us to finish last. He just wanted us for the best odds possible. And at number five, you knew it was...
Not impossible, but... No, but I would have wanted to be... getting the top three picks.
Top
I know
three
five
pick.
Is
yeah,
five,
exactly.
And guess
top
what?
Three, we would have gone the first. Dude,
that
if
was
we were third last. We would have gone Bedard.
That was my hope. Like I know the entire city was hoping to win the lottery and get the first overall. My hope was to get at least like you, Anthony, top three pick because the Canadians could. There was no way the Canadians were able to get the fourth overall pick. They had an 8.5% chance at the first, an 8.6% at the second, a 0.3% chance at the third. They were unable to pick the fourth, and then they had the 24.9% for the fifth, and then 44.5 for the sixth. So at least we didn't get below fifth.
That's true.
That was I think that was the main worry. The main worry was that we're not going to get a top five pick, but we're going to get either six or seven. Exactly.
But look, try to be optimistic here. When's the last time when Shark and Ains chose pick number five?
Price.
There you go.
In 2005.
2005. And Gary Price. Deep. And guess how that came out.
Yeah, so, but that was a deep draft. Like, deep draft. Like,
it was. Crosby.
Look, at the end of the day, guys.
Like, multiple generational players.
Look, all these players are projected to be in the NHL. Anything can happen, right? These we could have the best top five pick and better than number three. We'll never know. The future tell. We can tell. So we can all be disappointed all we want. We got number five. It's better than nothing. It's something big in a deep draft. I think we should be happy about it. And
but who here had that glimpse of hope that we might actually get maybe either number one or top three? Did anybody here really think, you know what, we might actually get this?
No.
I know we gave our prediction videos, but like we on Instagram for Instagram, and I know we did that for entertainment purposes, but was anybody here had us not look, like a small tiny
you always want 1%. You always want the number one in any life. But you got to be realistic to a certain point.
How many lives do you think there is?
You never know.
Okay. You know where my hope came in? And you know, I kept saying, and we were saying, oh, if Arizona takes it, it's fixed. Mm-hmm. The moment they announced Arizona, like, number 10 or whatever.
No, Arizona was Arizona six. Was six, yeah.
Was six, okay. Yeah. The moment they announced Arizona, I'm like, shit. Okay, wait. There's a little bit of hope. Maybe I was wrong. You know, it's not fixed, and we're gonna be in the bottom.
Like, well, Chris said it. He called it way before. He's like Chicago.
I called it like freaking four times.
He really did, but
it's the tricky fix. It's the smart fucking sneaky fucking fixing because he's right. It's a huge market that was losing. Now they sold millions of tickets already. They didn't even draft the Dart yet, and yet they're selling out their tickets.
I know,
but they
won their cups though. They won three cups in a decade.
There was a rape.
You know what?
They're trying to salvage that. Fuck.
Do they really deserve this other chance?
That's
okay.
Hold on. And I like Chicago. I loved watching Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Marian Hossa tear
it up. Too
big
of a market, buddy. It's too big of a market.
And I get it. Original six. Okay, fine.
That too.
Yeah, okay. Too big of a market. What about the Canadians?
They got their fucking pick last year, dude.
No.
It's what it is.
I know.
If you're in Bedman's eyes, I'm saying. If you're in Bedman's eyes.
But that's okay. Because to Zouk's point, okay. And this is the reason behind, like, this is my reasoning at the very least. Arizona, what's it really going to change? Okay, you might have a boost, but what do they risk losing? Nothing. They're already at fucking zero. You can't go below zero. Columbus, okay, they've never really been like a huge hockey market. Then you take Chicago. They've been dominant for years. Yes, they won their three cups. Do they deserve another generational player, especially after the scandal that came out, especially after everything? Do they deserve it? Absolutely fucking not. But what does the NHL stand to lose? I think it's the second biggest building in the NHL with the standing room. They're at 22,000 seats or 22,000 capacity, which is a little bigger than the Bell Center.
Yeah.
You know, you can't afford, or the NHL cannot afford to lose that much business. Whereas Arizona, like I said, you're not losing very much, if anything. Yeah, and Columbus, you're not losing very much, if anything. So the logical NHL choice for business purposes was Chicago.
The NHL didn't choose to give Chicago the first overall pick, though.
They didn't choose, but I'm just saying.
It's Chicago. You know, Chicago fucking tanked on purpose.
Yes, okay. They tanked on purpose. But, you know, for a fucking draft that, you know, we don't see anything that goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what the fuck is going on. They just say,
no, but it's not rigged. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Like, we're talking about Chicago, and we're saying that, the NHL picked it because it's probably the best. It's the second best American market. It's like, really, really.
Now,
look, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very, very, very unlikely. Like, I'm just getting fed up of seeing not you guys, but I'm just getting fed up of seeing on Twitter and social media that it's rigged this, it's rigged that, rig. Shut up.
Rigged.
Like, it's enough, though. It's enough. Like, Chris knows where that's coming from. Just like to me,
it's rigged.
It's fixed. I put that clip in there. No, but it's just I don't know. Like even I'm like disappointed I didn't get it, but I'm not gonna go around saying, oh, Gary Bettman doesn't want the Montreal Canadiens to have success.
I guess where people are coming from in all this is that mistake that happened, right? Like, first of all, they stopped doing the live balls. Okay.
But that's, like, that's live really balls. Bad.
I get it. But Anthony, the broadcasting made a mistake. It didn't change any outcome.
Fair.
Are you talking about Kevin Weeks? Like,
yeah. That mistake made a lot of people second guess. Like, how did ESPN know, or how did Weeks know? You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be no one's supposed to know.
They get a script. It just came out.
It was poorly executed.
The broadcasting people, they and you know what's funny? I can answer that. No. We do like a John Tortorella. That's just fucking real. No, how the when Kevin Weeks said it, how the fuck did we miss it?
I know, right?
Did we miss it?
I thought it was when I saw it's rigged on Twitter, and I saw the video. I'm like, where were we in this moment?
I think we were just so. I think we were just so caught up in the fact that, like, fuck, we didn't get it. And I was trying to be
very
optimistic. I was trying to be very optimistic. I was in pure in denial mode. But now that, like, the waters have settled a little bit, shut up. It's not rigged, guys. Stop it. No, but, like, how the fuck did we miss it? I watched the video. We were completely oblivious of what had just happened.
Well, we were already in the point of we were taking videos. We were talking about who might we be drafting? Will Smith, this guy, Mishkov, all this. So I think we were just caught up, and between the discussions that we were having, I think it just went right over our heads. That's the explanation that I've given myself, at least. But I don't think we had, like I said, I don't even think we were listening at that point in time, because Montreal was already said and done.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just
as soon as they announced number five, we all went our separate way. Like, I was mad, I went to my fence. You know, you were like saying, trying to be all optimistic and say, okay, it's good. Fuck. No, it's good. It's good. Number five.
I've never had such a split personality in my life, like in a span of 2 seconds. But let's talk about this though. At number five, to me, the worst case scenario. Best case scenario was winning the lottery at number one. The worst case scenario is staying put to where we are.
We could have dropped. That was the worst case scenario.
Sure, but like the way I'm seeing is like, okay, where we're selected, to me, fifth is the worst case scenario, because we finished bottom five. Mm. So you get what I'm saying, right?
We got what we finished at.
Like, we stayed exactly where we finished. Exactly. So to me, that was the worst case scenario.
Not worst, but it was a normal expectation, in my opinion. Not a worst case. The worst case would have been if they dropped.
Sure. Yeah. If you could look at it that way too. The way I look at it is like, okay, five, and that's the worst thing. We're in a pretty good position.
I think I remember reading somewhere. I think it was today that the Habs scouts knew that they would be picking between 5 to 7. So they really looked at those players that are in that realm. Sure. So they know what the fuck they're going to choose. I'm pretty sure they know. And it's been a long time. They didn't fucking see Bedard because they knew that they weren't going to get the number one pick. So I'm sure they scouted the 3 to 7 people to the fucking tits. And hopefully they choose the right player. Right. But some great players. Man. Guys.
Do we jump into that conversation now?
Before we jump into that conversation, just throwing it out there early, of course, because it's who I am, right? I always throw these crazy scenarios and Joey,
of course,
wants to kill me all the time. Yeah. But with all the scandal happening in Chicago, right? Like, and you saw this on Twitter, Sam. You read this about.
Okay.
You know, why would you reward a team like that? It's stupid. With all that happened, you can't reward a team for the rape and all that crap, right? Now, for a player like Bedard, who's supposed to be the next generational player like McDavid and everybody, and he's coming into the NHL knowing, I'm not going to, probably the wrong expression, but like coming in with an asterisk, basically. You know, like being chosen from a team who went through a fucking, that's all they're going to be talking about for a while until the next big thing happens, right?
Okay.
Do you think, as a young generation player who wants to come into the spotlight, deserving to be where he is without any fucking stress of scandalism, request a trade like Lindros did?
It's a legitimate question because of the terrible history behind this organization. I think more than anything, and I think when Gretzky said this on, I don't know if he said this on TNT or ESPN or if they're one and the same, but I think he said that if you're the parents of Connor Bedard, you're going to be asking that organization a shit ton of questions in terms of or regarding their son's safety. Now, I understand, to the best of my knowledge or all of our knowledge here, the Blackhawks, they kind of cleaned house in the sense. They got rid of those who knew about it in terms of the management side, including the coach, Joel Quenneville, Stan Bowman. I don't know who else is gone. So I think in a sense that they did the right thing by getting rid of those people. So, but you still raise a good question though. I personally
coming into a big distraction, right? But now you brought up a very good point.
Yeah,
that they clean house. So technically they're starting over, right?
It's a new team.
That's exactly why. But I think look, I'm not a father like at least I don't think I have any kids out there in the world that I didn't anyways. But look, Anthony, you're a father. Zook, you're a father. Like, if your kid was getting drafted to the NHL to a team that has history of sexual assaults, I'm sure you're going to be raising either red flags or
there's
going to
be some due diligence.
So I think Connor Bedard's parents, like as soon as they knew that Chicago has the number one pick, for sure, like Zook said, they've done their due diligence. I think they're going to continue to do their due diligence. Mm-hmm. I think once interview process starts, you know, there's the combine and everything. I'm willing to bet my which part of me should I bet? Anyways, I'm willing to bet something. I'm willing to bet my left nut that his parents
against your right nut.
No, I like my right one, but. Before we get sidetracked here, I'm willing to bet that his parents are going to talk to the management of the Chicago Blackhawks and they're going to raise their concerns for good reasons why. But to answer your question, Anthony, if he pulls an Eric Lindros, no, I don't think so, cuz it's super rare, especially when it comes to hockey. It's not like basketball or even soccer where players can decline who they want to play for at the start of their career. His dream is to make the NHL. You know, the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, if you take away the scandal, you know, they're a very successful organization. An original six. Chicago, the good parts of Chicago, it's a beautiful city. So I personally don't think he's going to request a trade.
I'm going to jump in at this point in time, too. I don't see him requesting a trade under any circumstances. I think, you know, we're going to start with this analogy. You just had a disaster. That organization, probably more than any other organization in the league, is going to be on like red alert for the slightest mishap, for the slightest anything like sexual demeanor or anything like that. I think they cannot afford to have anything else happen to them. So they're going to be on, like I said, they're going to be alert for these types of things. I'm even going to use the, you know, I wish actually Joey would have loved to have been on the conversation for this part. You look at the Italian soccer, remember the whole scandal back in 2005, 2006, the refs getting paid off, Juventus winning and everything like that. They got relegated. Well, I don't want to compare the World Cup to Chicago drafting Connor Bedard, but the World Cup, good news, fantastic news for the country as a whole. Let's say for the organization, let's compare the country of Italy to the organization of the Chicago Blackhawks. There's an opportunity to turn the page and really get some good news flowing through that organization once again. And I think I'll cap it off on this, talking about like what the organization is going to be doing for Connor Bedard. I know he's going to be their meal ticket for the years to come. Jonathan Toews just left. How long until Connor Bedard is going to be the captain of that organization? I mean, the guy hasn't even been drafted, but you already start thinking this guy is likely going to be groomed right from day one to become the captain of that organization. Might become a captain sooner than Jonathan Toews became captain there. Like, there's a whole slew of good news that is now inflowing into that organization. And number two, I think they'll have every measure necessary to make sure that everything is done by the book, everything is done properly, and that especially that kid's career is going to be a safe one and a successful one.
No, good points there. And and you're right. I mean, look, anything can happen. And like you said, Sam, they have good history, original six. It's a historic, team to be playing. Like, look, if I was making the NHL, and I mean, my number one pick, of course, would be the Montreal Canadiens, but my second pick would be the Chicago Blackhawks.
Chicago at one point became my second favorite team when Toews and Kane really started making a name for themselves. Like, I loved the New Jersey Devils back in high school because of Scott Stevens, Brodeur, and even Scott
Niedermayer. We all went into that phase of the Brodeur and Stevens.
Oh my God. But yeah, but they were the best at their crafts. And then just the way Chicago was built as a team, man, like how could you not have loved them? You know, like, unfortunately we didn't know about the scandal at that time, but like, and it's kind of, you're there thinking like, what, how the fuck can you guys do that? But anyways, all that to say was that, like, yeah, Chicago, he's going to a historic franchise, but the kid's alone though over there.
It's gonna be in a losing team for a while.
Like, really? Like, can you imagine though? Like, he can't put up enough points because he's got nobody to play with. Like, it's all him.
Imagine he puts up a lot of points alone. Imagine when he does.
Look at Sidney Crosby put up over 100 points his rookie year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. So I think the path is a bit similar to Crosby. But having said that, Crosby, they knew they were getting Marc-Andre Fleury. They knew they were getting Malkin. They drafted Luke Tang in the second round. So I don't know. Chicago. It's crazy. It's nuts. Or did Letang get drafted second round? Not fully sure.
So that goes to show that it doesn't matter where you draft anything. You can find a spotlight player.
Character.
At any position.
For sure.
And again, if you go into the right team, the right mindset, the right locker room, dude, I think anybody who enters our locker room now going forward with the management we have, something good's going to come out of it. Not saying they're going to be a generational player, but I think we can find the next Kucherov or the next Bergeron.
Yeah. You said Kucherov. You know who's being compared to? Or someone says he has the play style and hands like Kucherov?
Will Smith. Don't say Mitchkov.
You fetch. Yes.
All right, let's get into it.
I heard he was more like a Zibanejad.
Is that totally a bad thing?
No, I'm saying a
fucking great player.
A few scouts put him as a comparable. Yeah, as a bad. No, it's a great, great fucking comparison.
Okay,
let's get into that.
Because we all need to remember. Mm-hmm. Before this draft happened, at one point in time, it was a toss-up who's going first between Connor Bedard and Matvei Michkov. They were neck and neck. Okay, yeah. Especially when they played at the U18 World Championship. Okay, they both played 7 games. Michkov 12 goals in 7 games, 16 points. Bedard only 7 goals in 7 games. Like, at one point, Michkov was like, everybody, scouts are there. Greg Bud, like, Jesus, like, it's, they didn't say those words, but like, it's going to be close. For sure, Connor Bedard is the number one. Like, there's no doubt in my mind and in the hockey expert's mind. But at one point, before all this shit happened, out east, or it depends how you look at the globe, there was one and two. Number one was Bedard. Number two was Michkov. He's only dropping because of whatever political bullshit is going on. But he's not dropping because of his talent. He didn't drop because, like Shane Wright dropped, because just Shane Wright was just not producing.
Terrible. Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure most people who are saying that no, we're not going to draft it are not talking about his talent. It's more, I'm guessing, the political situation around it. Oh, and the contracts and things that affect the team wanting him to sign above and beyond 2026. There's a lot of things that is out of control in a sense that Kent Hughes can't really work his magic as he would perhaps with, you know, one American player or another European style player. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah.
Well, Kent Hughes, if you listen to his press conference, I don't know if Sam, if you wrote his quotes down, I should have done that before the show, but there was one point, I think he was asked about Michkov what kind of player you want or whatever. And his words, exact words was, I'm going to be looking not only what we see on the tapes, but beyond the tapes. Okay. He wants to look at someone who's going to bring value long-term, the short and long-term. It's not, you know, they're not going to be drafting the need. That's for sure. I think we all know that Hughes is the type of guy, you know, the best player out there compared to what we used to have in the history of the Montreal Canadiens, the need, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to go with the best player available at number five. Mm-hmm. But he's not only looking at what scouts say or what the tapes say. He also said, I'm going to be looking at everything. I want to, you know, check mark everything on my list of what I want in a player for this franchise. Short term, long term, on the ice, off the ice. Everything. And that being said, again, not to get into the political stuff, but all those things being said, that is a big factor, right? Like, as much as, and again, we had this conversation today earlier this afternoon in our group chat about, you know, Michkov. Don't get me wrong. Of course I want Michkov. I've seen the tapes. But again, I'm just a normal fan watching tapes on a screen, right? These guys know more than what we know. And I think the decision that will be made is based on everything, you know, character. Are they a leader on the ice? Are they a leader on the bench? Look, and that's why I trust, again, I'm babbling here, but that's why I trust Kent Hughes. We all wanted Shane Wright, number one, and we had the opportunity to get that. And Kent Hughes could have been sitting down and saying, I'm choosing based on tapes. No, he based himself on character and long-term situations. And we all, and I think all the GMs at the beginning said that Shane Wright doesn't have the right character. He's not good. And they didn't give a shit about his goals and his points and how he is on the ice. They cared about everything else. And right away, that fucked him. And he dropped to number three. So I have a lot of faith in Kent Hughes.
Number four.
Yeah, even crazier. From someone being predicted number one to being number four, that was insane. But again, I have a lot of trust in the hands of Kent Hughes of picking right.
Dude, he's an agent. He knows the players, what character works. He's an agent. He saw these things, right? So, like, he's bringing that to this.
The reason why he picked Slafkovský over Shane Wright is because he truly believes Slafkovský has a better potential than Shane Wright.
All around. Long term. What Anthony was saying, character,
he
ceiling.
I think character, he liked them both, but I think he sees a longer potential, long-term potential in Slafkovský than Shane Wright.
You see how Slafkovský talks, though, right, Sammy? He's always about that work. I'm working towards this.
But he doesn't take himself seriously.
Shane Wright is less. Shane Wright is a kid, right? But he's
they're
a
both,
kid.
But they're both kids, though. Yes, yeah, Anthony. Shane Wright, yeah. Kent Hughes said all of that, okay?
Yeah.
Here's one thing, though, he did say. He goes, if we value two players the same, both these players check off everything. Character, hockey sense, off ice work ethic, character, blah, 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 blah.
Positional need.
Then he'll go to positional need. He said that. That's the one. He goes, but a lot of the times it doesn't happen. It's like, he's like, and even at that, like, for that to be the decision factor, it's like they got to make sure they get it down properly. They asked about Mishkov, and he goes, look, there's a lot of things we got to look into. But again, it all comes down to the same thing. No matter what, whether he's over there or in North America, like, I think it all comes down to the same thing. So this is why, on the political side of what's going on with Russia, I don't think that's going to be a factor. The political side, the KHL contract situation, however, might be a bit of a different story. But I'll tell you what I think. I think, what do we know about Mishkov's KHL contract? When does it end? As far as we all know, including
2026 with an option of 2028.
It ends in 2026. Okay. Yeah. Now, this is suddenly news to me that apparently the KHL might, for lack of a better term, you're blackmail him or ransom him to play another 2 years. And apparently it's like they might cut his ice time. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Whether that's true or not, I just saw it on Twitter a little bit before
you go on, Sammy.
Yeah.
Can an NHL team buy out their contracts? Like, pay a sum, let's say it's a $5 million contract, pay them $8 million.
I don't think so. I can't. I cannot answer that at 100%, but I don't think so.
I've never seen it happen before.
It's never happened. A contract's a contract. I don't think if it's never happened before, I don't think it's going to happen now. To me, if he's coming in 3 years, he's 18 years old now, and he's going to be present. He's going to be present at the draft. He's got 3 years left.
Three is not that bad. It's the 2 year and more, the 5 years I don't like. That's what I don't like.
That's fair enough. And if that goes down, okay, maybe.
It's a risk.
Three-year plan. He comes to the NHL at the age of 21, prime age, like now really getting that physical maturity going.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not even rushing. And in this case, you're not rushing the player. So it's a
no. Boom. He's playing boom. With men.
You're not rushing the player. Number one, like we have that history of doing here in Montreal. He's still playing with men. He's developing out there. Okay. He's going to come in when the Canadians actually start competing and making and probably hopefully.
Oh, no. He's going to be an impact right away. He's
so gonna
be
to me, that 3 year now. That 3 year kind of follows within Hughes and Gorton's plan. Now,
the long term
decision. Yeah, but how are they going to help fucking develop him? Because
what's his name?
The fucking organization wants to be around these kids. They want to see how they develop. They see how they do it with Mayu. They're always around them.
Sure, Nick Bobrov.
Yeah,
if I'm pronouncing his name.
Okay.
Bobrov. Nick Bobrov.
That's a good point. Somebody. He's a scout.
Who wants to take over? Nick Bobrov. Where was he born? Who does he have connection with?
He's very closely linked to St. Petersburg, for sure. Oh. KHL. And
so is his father.
And he's our Canadian scout for the Russians.
So is his father, Sergei Bobrov. Go, Chris.
Yeah.
Go, Chris.
Yeah.
I see you salivating off the mouth.
Because I've been waiting to say Nick Bobrov's name for a handful of minutes now. And it happened recently. Pardon my lack of knowledge on this front for the player's name, but there was a contract in the KHL that just got cut so that the player could come and play in the NHL in North America. Ooh, it's happened. Yeah.
But he's not a number one fucking pick, dude.
He's not a number one pick. Absolutely.
That's
not
a big difference.
It just goes in the past week. Nevertheless, the contract of a young player that has been drafted. His contract got cut within the KHL so that he could come here to play in North America. If Nick Bobrov, with the connections that he has, can negotiate terms for Mishkov to come play here, that could be a game changer. The relationship that guy has in comparison with, I can't say that any of the other top five teams have that type of relationship with the particular team that Mishkov is playing for. You know, that could be a huge, huge advantage for the Montreal Canadiens. If I might go on a little bit of a monologue over here, because these have been a few thoughts that have been piling up. I think Mishkov, I'll start off by even saying this before I get to them. If you look at the teams, Bedard is going first. Anaheim is in dire need of a centerman. That's Fantilli. And then what is the likelihood that both Will Smith and Carlson, what is the likelihood that they slide down? I think we have to look at this realistically.
Yeah, we do.
There's a good chance that we're staring Michkov in the face at number five, and he's still on the board. Well, the other thing, too.
Yeah, go.
Michkov coming to Montreal. Montreal is a lot more similar to Russia than any of the American cities that he'd be going to. I think he wouldn't get as harsh of a culture clash coming here to Montreal to play for the Canadiens. I think he would actually be well surrounded and feel a lot more like he was at home over here. The political tension is not the same between Canada and Russia and USA and Russia, so that's a lot easier for him to come here. And I'm hoping, I'll wrap it up on this, I'm truly and genuinely hoping these poor Russian kids are paying for the fucking political mistakes of other men and people across the globe. These athletes have been out of the limelight. We haven't got to see any of the Russian players. We haven't got to see anything since the previous World Junior Championships or the previous competitions that they partook in. Pray to God that the fact that Michkov was out of sight, out of mind, that this kid has continued to develop and continued to be the same, I guess, talent that rivaled Bedard's talent, that he drops down to five and we have that opportunity to draft him, because I think we might be able to look back years from now and go, holy fucking shit, we got lucky that these players were not seen. But we got lucky that these players weren't scouted, and we ended up getting possibly the equivalent of the number one pick just because he wasn't known and he wasn't necessarily approachable, whereas we had the fucking inside track with Bobrov. I think so too.
But he's definitely going to look at that. Can't use. Is definitely going
to. Well, I think that's sure. Let's go back to what you were saying before about Chicago and Bedard. You know, the parents doing their due diligence before picking him or going to Chicago. I think Ken Hughes is going to be doing that. Like, if Michkov is available at number five, and we had the opportunity to get him. Now, Sam, you brought up a very good point before in regards to, you know, this player playing another three more years in the KHL, coming to the NHL at 21, already getting developed that way, but without us rushing players. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's already a big plus, and that's the long-term stuff that Kent Hughes was talking about. You know, I want to find a player for the long-term process.
Yeah, and exactly.
This guy is going to be already 3 years with, again, not NHL experience, but 3 years extra of work.
It's the second best hockey league in the world.
Exactly. So imagine this guy coming at 21, ready to play, maybe one more year left of NHL experience, and that guy is a superstar at 22 years old. So to me, getting Michkov is a big plus. Now, again, not to talk political or whatever, but I think that's something that Hughes is going to be looking into, right?
For sure.
I want to make sure, you know, because there was talks that KHL and NHL wanted to cut all Russian players to come into the league, right? There was that whole suspension of the KHL and, you know, cutting all Russian players coming to the NHL. That was a big talk last year. Mm-hmm. And it's still a potential situation that could happen. And that's something that could screw over Michkov, because imagine we're in a deep draft. We're in a deep draft right now. We're number five. And you go wasted on a player that might not come.
Ken's going to lose his job. I'll tell you
that. He's not going to lose his job. He's going to lose his job. But what I'm trying to say is that imagine you have an opportunity to pick up Smith or Carlson or Dvorsky. Okay, all these guys available. And then you go choose a player that might never play again. And it would suck, right? I think that's the doubt that we have for Michkov is because of all that's happening. Not with the Russian war. That's one thing. You know, the Russia and all that war. But it's also the whole, you know, debate of NHL suspending Russian players. That was a whole big debate last year.
I just want to jump in because I'm going to say with confidence that never happens. And the reason why I say it with confidence is right off the bat, players like, and I'm going to name one player. Alex Ovechkin stops everything that he's doing and he goes back home. If the fucking league... pardon me for even I hate just throwing the word out, but if the NHL were willing to perform an act of racism, because it's really you're just going against Russian players. If they are willing to go that far, these star Russian players in this league, they are all going to fucking drop like this. I do not see them accepting that, tolerating that. I do not see organizations allowing that to happen. And as much as it's a discussion, I don't see it ever happening because of the consequences and the fallout that they're going to be having with a number of current players that have a huge impact on their respective teams. I mean, Kucherov, Ovechkin. Ovechkin's on the verge of fucking doing these, Malkin, fucking getting a scoring record. Yeah. Malkin. There are so many players that are just, you know, you have Bobrovsky. I know he's a little bit older. He's not the greatest player. They're fucking gone. They're fucking gone. And that's why, you know, maybe it was something that was discussed.
Panarin?
Never will that happen, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
And I hope it doesn't happen. And we all hope it doesn't happen. But I just hope
it's just politics. It's just talking, you know?
But that's what I think this is, because then we all heard, Mishkov is going to be present at the draft.
Yeah. What does that mean? That's what I want to ask you guys. What do you think?
I think...
What do you look into that? That he's going to be present, that he says he's going to be present. What does that give you in terms of... hope,
that means he's going to be eligible to play in the NHL one day when his in theory his KHL contract comes to an end. And listen,
Romanov have a similar contract situation?
Romanov came when his contract was done.
That's it. He was 21, I think, too, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Let me ask you guys this: do you really think Minnesota cares that Kirill Kaprizov spent 6 years in the KHL once he was drafted? He spent 6 years in the KHL.
And now how many points?
To the NHL. He put up over 100 points last year. Like, do you really think Minnesota
six is years, bothered though. By
it?
Man.
I get 6 years is a long. He was
we're,
drafted.
We're not waiting 6 years, buddy.
Okay, I understand. There's the difference between 6 and 3. You're reducing in half. Man. Kaprizov, fifth round pick. Mishkov, potential second overall between 2 and 5. I get it. There's a massive difference.
And it's also, you got to also think about, again, let's stop talking about this whole political stuff for a second or forever. But also, we got to think about Hughes's vision for this team, right? Do they want to win the cup in 5, 6 years, or do they want to win it earlier? Do they want to wait the 3 years for Mishkov? Do they want to start developing the team now to win the cup in 5 years? Not without waiting for Mishkov, things like that. That also plays into a big factor for him.
I think he fits in. He fits in the time frame.
I think he fits in
3 years. In 3 years, we're all going to be expecting Canadians to be making the playoffs
this year.
Imagine
this season. I mean,
next season. No,
next
not,
season.
Not the new
I'm
season.
I'm going to be mad if they don't
it's
make
possible.
The
it's possible if it they're is. Healthy.
If they're
it's
healthy,
possible
yes.
that they make.
No, if you know you. Okay.
That's me.
No. Okay, hold on. Put
it's
a pin a
development
on
development curve. It's physics.
Put a pin on that. We're gonna come back to it, but
physics. You can't fight physics.
We're all talking about as if Mishkov might fall to number 5. But what if he doesn't? What if he's picked second?
No problem. We get we'll at Smith. That point. It's either Carlson or Smith is available, and anybody and everybody, whether they're not happy the day of the draft, they will be happy shortly thereafter. So there's no losing. There's really no losing.
I don't think.
I just think that there's a huge. I just personally think, and this is by the sounds of our general conversation, I think there's an X factor with Mishkov. I think he could be a complete and utter surprise that absolutely takes this team to another fucking level. Whereas the other guys are just, they're going to be fantastic players. But Mishkov could be a fucking superstar and borderline,
I don't know, man.
Generational talent, but I'll say franchise player
I think
right
he
off the bat.
Be a franchise player too.
You know what I think? It's a feeling that I'm starting to feel. You know, Joey said today that the top five is clearly top five players, okay? Now, we all said that during the draft, GMs go for best player, not the need, right? Because especially for a deep... But think about this. This is such a deep draft that every player is a great player. Now I feel like this draft here is going to surprise us all. GMs are actually going to go for the need of their team more than best player because they're all considered best players, if you know what I mean. Like, for example, let's say what Fantilli is what, a right wing?
Fantilli is a center.
A centerman, okay?
He's a big centerman, so, yeah.
He's a big centerman. Now, number two is who? Anaheim, right?
Yeah.
Do they need a centerman, let's say? Let's say, yes, they do. They do.
Yeah, they
pretend
do.
Pretend that they don't. Pretend that they don't. Let's say, oh, fuck, Toronto just scored. Anyways. Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So
2-0. Okay.
What I'm trying to say is that I think this specific draft will be GMs picking the need over best available because all five players are best available, right? So let's say I'm Anaheim and I need a right wing. I'd be like, okay, Fantilli's available. Last year, I probably would have chosen him right away.
Can we draft Mishkov yet?
Joey, what I'm trying to say, I actually perfect time for you.
Welcome, Joey. Welcome.
Welcome, Joey. You had said earlier today in our chat that the top five players is clear the top five players.
From right? What I've seen, I've started doing scouting, yes.
Perfect. Clear. Now, every year, GMs pick best player available, right? But because the top five are all best players available, do you think GMs this year will be picking the need over best player available? Because at this point, they're all best players. Like Carlson, Smith, Bedard, Fantilli, they're all best players. So let's say Anaheim does not need a centerman and they just need a right wing, for example, or a defenseman or whatever. Maybe they'll skip on Fantilli because they don't need him. They'll go with Carlson because they need that. You know, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but
yeah, yes and no.
Over best because they're all best.
Yes and no. It comes down to characteristics at that point because four out of the five players, well, maybe Bedard can play right wing and center. They all play center. If you notice, Will Smith, Carlson, Fantilli, and Bedard are all considered centermen. So at that point, you're picking more characteristics. The only one in this wild card is Michkov.
Michkov's not a center. No.
Exactly. He plays right wing. So that's going to come down to characteristics. Look, I fully believe Bedard and Fantilli are going to go 1-2. I think a lot of people are really, really high on Bedard. It's 3, 4, 5 that everyone's a wild card. And so it's gonna come down to who they think is the best player available. And supposedly it's very close. I know Anaheim needs a center. I know Columbus needs a center. And San Jose's the wild card in this because they can go either way. So that's why I don't see Fantilli not being picked by Anaheim or worst case Columbus, but I don't think he's going past Anaheim. Then Columbus I started reading some of the reporters from Columbus itself on The Athletic, and they're very high on Will Smith. Could they go Carlson? Maybe. But they're high on Smith, so I'm thinking it's going to come down to one of those two. So it depends. You know how Hugh says he likes the character, he does the interviews to see how guys are? Well, other GMs are going to do the same thing. I think that's what's going to determine where they go. And also their style of play. Although they're both centers, they could play differently. I know Will Smith is more of a scorer and William Carlson. Wow. I forget his first name, Carlson.
Leo
Carlson. That's it. He is definitely more of a bigger body, two-way type player. Maybe 6'3". Six three, like a bigger Backstrom type playmaking, 200-foot game. And I know Will Smith's a good goal scorer as a center. So it depends what they're looking for.
Will Smith tore it up at the U18 tournament. He led, I was saying how like in the U18 tournament, Mishkov put up 16 points when they played. Bedard's put up 14 points in 7 games. Will Smith in 7 games, 9 goals and 20 points. 20 points. Gabriel Perreault, who was Yannick Perreault's son, was second behind him at 18. Another American, and even at third, another American, Ryan Leonard, 17 points in 7 games. And these are guys that are projected to be maybe even below the 10th spot. This is how deep this draft is. So personally, I would like to draft Will Smith if we don't get Mishkov. If Mishkov gets selected before us, if he does get selected before the Canadians,
He's actually third on my list.
Will Smith?
Yep. I made mine this morning. I went with, I'm not including Fantilli or Bedard. I'm not including them. I went with Will Smith third. I went with Carlson second and Michkov first.
A lot of people are saying Will Smith or Carlson.
Yeah, because that's the consensus of who might drop. When I started to look at between Will Smith and Carlson, I went with something we don't have, which I'm going to go with. Again, I'm not debating if Dubois is here. If Dubois is here, no. It changes everything. I'm going with what we have now. What we have now, sticking Doc to wing where I know it already works, I would look at drafting a 6'3" centerman. That's where I would think Carlson would come into play rather than Will Smith.
You think Carlson's going to be a centerman?
Leo Carlson?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see him more as a winger. I don't know why. Maybe it's because in the...
I'll see more tape of him, but what I've seen so far, I want to go look back at some of the sweet highlights. God, I wish I was a scout. I would love to watch these guys live, but I saw some of him playing when he played with Sweden and when he plays in the Swedish league. I started a few days ago, and he can do the job at center. I don't think it's a question. I mean, obviously development's a big thing. So I personally would take the 6'3" center. I think it's a little more unique for us, and it's going to be good for could be even a top line depending who's with him. But again, that's second to Smith, and I'll keep banging my head. Michkov is the choice.
But either Michkov or Carlson, I could see them playing left wing with Suzuki and Caulfield. I could see that happening.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Because I personally think, look, I don't think Dubois is coming. I really don't. We can't afford him this year anyways. So he ain't coming, number one. Number two, they're relying on Kirby Doc to be that second line center.
If they have a chance at Smith and Carlson, I think they're going to end that debate with Doc.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm a little delayed, but okay, good. Florida, they're only down 2-1.
I'm reading a lot on Joey. I want to hear your take on this because this is the one player I do not know about and haven't seen, but I did see this name trending on Twitter for Montreal, which is Dvorsky, because they're saying that he might, like Carlson, Smith, Mechkov, and Bedard and Fantilli won't be available at number 5. And that the next best player will be the
worst. Well, no, one of them will be available. That's the
if
thing.
They don't have, if Michkov is the only one available and they decide not to take him.
I was going to have Sam let me do my Michkov rant, but I will say this clear.
You can do your Michkov rant whenever you want. You can do it now.
If we do a show, I am so focused on whoever is left of the 5. If we do not draft them, if we're doing a show, whether it's live or not, and we pass on the 5th guy. So the only guy we'll pass on and maybe is Michkov. I don't think they pass on Smith or Carlson at 5. If it comes down to we do it, I will make sure I have something around me that I can throw and break and start screaming my head off. There's no way. I didn't even look at Dvorsky. I looked a little bit because I was worried, but everything I see, if we do not draft Michkov or Smith or Carlson at 5, I will be pissed and I will call for Hughes's head. What happens if they draft?
I didn't know there was a goalie in the top 10. Matt Tompkins.
I don't think Tompkins will end to us. Again, if Florida didn't, Florida either didn't make it or didn't pass or might, depending what happens with Toronto, but let's just say they don't blow this. Goalie would have actually been the pick I would have tried looking at the end of the first round if there's a goalie available. I haven't gotten too far there yet, but if there is a goalie available, that would maybe be a selection.
Yeah, maybe they do get a 29-30.
Sam, you know prospects so well. You've been following them. After we pick I'm going to say I'm confident we're going to pick a forward. With the decor we have, depending what kind of D's are there, which is a little weaker in the first round, do you not think a goalie is suitable at the bottom end of the first round? Because we already are going to have a bunch of good forward prospects. Either I'm still considering Caulfield Young. You have Slavkovsky, you have Messar, you have Beck coming up, you have Roy, you have Farrell. You got a lot that is coming. What we don't have is goalie. There is maybe a position of need where you can kind of reach and get a goalie early.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. The American goalie, Trey Augustine, I actually like him. He won with the States. He won the bronze at the World Juniors, and he won the gold medal with the Americans just a couple of weeks ago with the under 18. I actually like him. I don't know much yet about him, but I know he's put up pretty decent numbers in the U.S. Development program, and that program has become very strong in the last couple of years. You're looking at Caulfield, who scored 70 goals in that program, but now you have Will Smith that put up over 100, almost 120 points.
I honestly think,
127 in 60 games. So I agree with you, Joe. Yes, a goalie. I'm putting a lot of my hope on Jakub Dobis, whatever, however you pronounce his name. But then again, like he's still another bottom round pick.
I do want
another goalie in our depth chart, I guess, if you could say, amongst the prospects.
Yeah, finish, Chris.
No, I'm going to start by apologizing if my eyes are down there. I can't take my eyes off the Florida game, even though I'm listening to you. Joey, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful idea that we start looking into a goaltending prospect, because we've said it a million times. I think the defense is just going to be extremely solid. I think we're going to have too many defensemen that we're going to be trading them away for veteran players to support the guys up top. I think we have a shit ton of talent, especially with whoever we're going to be drafting top five. So I don't think there's going to be any weakness up top. I don't think there's going to be any weakness on defense. I think the one thing that's going to screw the Montreal Canadiens over when it's going to be time for them to be competing for the cup is going to be goaltending. So I think it's really time to either start shopping for that goalie, whether it be a pick right now or to prepare for a trade in the coming years, because after all these years of being spoiled with fantastic goaltending and having Carey Price, imagine the only fucking position that was good is now going to be our weakness going forward.
But see, sorry to cut you there, but I think I see a different side of this, especially what we're witnessing now with Bobrovsky. You know, like I came in third game and he's very streaky and hot, even though he's not the best in the NHL.
He was at one point with the best in the NHL. That's why he got that contract. That something happened along the way. I don't know if the money got to his head or something. He just kind of decreased. But what we're seeing now from Bobrovsky is not surprising. It's not surprising.
No, because he has done it. He's just kind of rolling back the clock. So, Ant, I know you're going to say to get a hot goalie, but
I'm not saying only hot goalie. What I'm trying to say is that, to me, what I see the vision of Hughes and Gorton, because they're already not established yet. I know we have a couple of years left, but because our core is starting to get established with these very good, talented, close to experienced players like Caulfield, Suzuki, and everybody, I don't think they want to start over with a goalie. I actually think, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and we've said this in past podcasts, is that I actually strongly believe if Montembeau has another good season and better than last year, I think Montembeau will be our number one goalie. And if it doesn't work out, I see Hughes and Gorton going in trade for an established goalie. I don't see them starting from scratch with a draft pick. I actually think either A, they think Montembeau is the number one goalie, and that's based on if he has a great season, because you saw that he was shit year one. He got a lot better last year. And if he gets better this year, then it is no question he's our number one goalie.
Yeah,
but I don't see them starting from scratch.
If they gamble by not taking goalie and leaving it to Montembeau, what if he's not it? Then you don't have.
That's why
you're a year later now, which is kind of like you're being a year late. That's what I'm saying. At 29 or 30 or 31 or 32,
there's a goalie available. I would go for a goalie.
If there was another, unless there's a prospect that would just blow Hughes and Gorton away, I would say that would be a spot to take it, because looking at our other prospects, we have a good core for forwards. And again, I'm including young players that already play. We're having a really good core for defense. You can make a case maybe if you want someone, but when you have Jack Eye, Gouley, Harris, Barron, Mayu.
Soon to be Mayu, yeah.
Lane Hudson.
Yeah.
Am I missing one, Sam?
No, I think that's going to be the core six.
And
Vucevic.
Kovacevic.
I'm fucking with you.
I didn't even name a veteran in this because I don't think Hughes or Gorton's going to go without a veteran. I think
he's going to keep Mike Matheson around.
But that's about 9 defensemen right there, even 10. So getting a goalie would be ideal at the spot. Really, I don't think he can go wrong. I don't think Hughes can go wrong no matter which way he goes. Ideally, I would hope he would address the goalie situation sooner rather than later. But
he has to. He has to.
He has bigger worries on his mind is the famous fifth pick. So you know, that's going to be the one he can't mess up. He really just can't mess it up.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot about the top five, but you know, this discussion that we're currently having, I think it hits even harder to the point that this is Sam Montembeau's year to really define himself as a number one goalie, or it's the last opportunity to address to Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton, whether or not getting a goalie is going to be a priority.
Make or break here for
the
cup.
It's the make and break. And it's really, when you're saying that, it really resonated and go like, yeah, this kid has everything. Montembeau has everything to gain or everything to lose this year. It's either he's going to be a backup goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens or he's going to be the goaltender between the pipes when they're competing for the cup. If you don't mind to bring it back to the top five picks, mm-hmm. I do want to say something, and especially having watching the playoffs this year, we spoke about Leo Carlson versus Will Smith. If we can just get back to that kind of discussion, especially the size of the players. You know, not to discriminate purely based off of size, but if you're watching the playoffs this year and how the teams are competing and what style of play, I want to say this much. I like the direction the Montreal Canadiens are taking. I love the fact that Slavkovsky is there. I love the fact that Doc is there. These are all bigger players. I just find that there's a certain durability to the bigger players. And if the two players were one up against the other, I'd rather take a guy like Leo Carlson. Just I see him lasting longer in the playoffs and less likely to be injured. And you look at a guy like Caulfield, I love him, but now there's a little bit more fear every time he steps out on the ice that he will be
injury prone.
That much likely.
Right. More likely for anyone listening who doesn't know, Will Smith isn't very small either. He's 6 foot. Like, I mean, he's a good size. He's not 6 foot. He's reached 6 foot from what I see. I mean, I don't have the tape measure or him in front of me, but
we're talking like girls who disqualify guys who are under 6 feet tall.
but that's the 3 inches can certainly make a difference. It depends how you play, though.
That's what she said.
I was waiting for
lined you up.
But give me the 5'10 Russian any day of the week. I will say this: he has the closest talent to Bedard, I heard even, I don't know if it was Bobrov or somebody close to him, I read today that they even called him the Russian Bedard.
Yes.
When I hear that, if those words are uttered anywhere from a scout, I can't see how you pass up on the guy.
Joe, so speaking of Bobrov, we mentioned it earlier with Zouk when he was here, until then he just fucking disappeared. But Nick Bobrov and his father, Sergei, they have connections with St. Petersburg. And their KHL team, the team that Mishkov plays for. Do you not think that kind of plays a bit of in Montreal's favor compared to Anaheim, Columbus?
Did you know Sergei was a scout? Did you know Sergei was a scout? He stopped just
2017 or 2018.
Yeah. So that will definitely help again if he's there. But my only worry, and I'll keep saying it, is if they pass up on him due to the contract situation. Bobrov being a connection between St. Petersburg, Montreal, that's already a positive. It just, the passing up on him, I just think it might be a mistake because of his contract situation. Like I was saying, no top NHL Russian player has ever not complained yet. No top Russian prospect has ever not complained in the NHL. Yeah. Can you name me one that's highly, highly, highly touted that never came over? If there is, it isn't many. Because Radulov had problems, came. Kovalchuk, yes, I know he went back, but this guy came over. You have Ovechkin. You have Malkin. You have Kaprizov. It took time, but he came.
6 years. We said that.
Panarin, same thing. Now, at his age, 18 years old, he has outscored Ovechkin. So Ovechkin is actually second in the list for points per game. He was outscored by Mishkov. Is Mishkov going to be Ovechkin? No. But the guy has ability to not put up 40, but 50 goals. I'm sorry. If you pass that up for Dvorsky, who apparently they're saying is a very good player.
He's very good, but I don't think his long-term potential is as much as Mishkov.
Exactly. Same with – I've heard good things about Ryan Leonard. Leonard is the teammate of Will Smith, which I've heard has done really well on his line. Yeah. He's kind of been overshadowed by Smith, but they're saying he might be the real guy on that line. Who knows? But I'm sorry, you just – if it's a case of the war and of the contract situation, you pass up that talent. Who cares if we wait 3 years? Who cares? We're not – if everyone's picturing we're getting Dubois, you're not getting Dubois for another two seasons.
I personally don't think the 3 years of that contract is a factor. I think exactly. again, not that we're repeating things, but you just jumped on, Joel. So I said it actually plays within Kent Hughes' timeline of building this team.
Yes, I sent you guys the age today. I know, Chris, you didn't see it, but the age of our players now are all going to be in their prime. Even if you get Dubois, they'll all be in their prime when Mishkov comes over at 21. You have Caulfield, Suzuki, 26, 27, Dubois, 27, 28. You're going to have Sakoski, 22 years old. This is going to fit the timeline. You're going to have Mayu, Lane Hudson. This fits perfectly, and you're going to have a guy who has a shot like Ovechkin. I've never think I would, could dream about somebody having a shot like Ovechkin playing for Montreal. So to me, if you pass that up for somebody for a safer pick, I don't know. I'll always like what Hughes has done, but if he doesn't,
but I don't think. But Joe, for you to say you're not gonna be happy with Hughes, it's fine to
with not that be pick, happy, but not in general. I'm just saying with that
That pick, but I think. Again, if this was Bergevin passing on that, then yes, I'm on your side. You know, with the trend of Bergevin, you know, making stupid decisions like that, then yes, I agree with you. But I think Hughes is such a smart guy that we were talking about this earlier. Like, he's going to do his due diligence before making any decision. So if Mishkov is available at number 5, I think his decision is based on his due diligence. If he passed on that, it's because he has a valid reason for it. Meaning he knows something more than what we don't know. So we were saying earlier today, before that 3 years is not an issue, because I think those 3 years benefits the Montreal Canadiens, because with our history of rushing players, and sorry to our listeners out there who hear a repeat here, it's only because Joey wasn't here before, so I'm just repeating what we said before, is those 3 years playing extra in the KHL is taking away from us, our organization, rushing a player like we always did. So imagine, and you said it before, imagine Mishkov coming at 21 years old after playing an extra 3 years in the KHL and coming into a team that has Caulfield at 26, 27, all these guys at an experienced thing. It fits the timeline 120%, and I would love to have Mishkov on our team.
Let me extend an olive branch to you. As soon as he comes in, you give him 3 years at an entry-level contract of paying him just under $1 million at 21 years old.
And then at 24,
we're talking about Caulfield right now at that age, at the age of 21, 22. And we're like, oh my God,
exactly.
8 million, 9 million, and getting 10.
Like, let's just say hypothetically, it works out at 24, you sign him to a long-term deal. You got the guy until his 30s. So it works perfectly. My worry, Anthony, is he says he wants to do his due diligence characteristic. What if Hughes doesn't want to deal with, the stress of bringing him over? Not that he say he can't. What if he's just nervous about doing it? That's the worry I have. That is
my
It'll all fall onto his shoulders. Kent is Nick, just going to be like, not my problem. Here you go, Nick.
So literally for this pick to work out, Nick Bobrov is the key.
And not like Russians don't have success and don't like Montreal. We've had a bunch. Like, how many have we had that love it here?
Kovalev, Radulov.
Exactly.
I think, you know, Joe, you know about this, that last year there was that whole big thing that they wanted to cut all Russian players from the NHL, right? They wanted to suspend it all, right?
But it's never going to happen.
But let's say, I think, because that's still in the talks.
That means they're getting rid of Malkin, Ovechkin. I know they're getting.
You guys are done already. Anyways, they're done in the next
same
year.
Thing.
Yeah, but okay. Those are, you
Capri,
guys are
the new like, ones, Kaprizov, Panarin, who still have left to. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I hope it doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, if that is a talk behind the scenes that we don't know about, I think. Okay, look, let me just conclude it by saying this. I think the only factor from stopping Michkov from coming to Montreal at pick number 5 if he's available is that whole contract situation. Not the politics, the war or anything. It's the worry about Russian players playing in the NHL. I think that's the only factor that stops Hughes from picking him. But if he's available and there's no issue in 3 years down the line of him playing, he's number one being picked. But then again, if there's no issue going forward, I think he'll be picked even sooner.
But that's my worry more than anything. My worry is not the it's not the political issues out there. It's not even the 3-year contract he has left with the KHL. My worry is that he's going to get picked by somebody else.
Yes, yeah, that's a bigger worry. Obviously, the contract situation and Hughes being conservative is a worry. But the bigger worry is if Michkov is actually available at 5. I like that when McKenzie came out with his ranking, he put Michkov at 5. That goes a long way. Scouts, listen.
I have it right here.
Yeah, he has Michkov at 5. Scouts, so, listen. And Scott Wheeler, who is one of the bigger reporters I follow in The Athletic when it comes to the draft, he has Michkov going to Montreal at 5, and he's pretty he's pretty spot on. I know the other one, Chris Progman, had Michkov 4 to San Jose, but to me that is the biggest worry.
I look at Bob McKenzie and Craig Button mostly.
Oh, Craig Button. No. Craig Button. Who did he have us taking? I already turned it off when I saw it.
Because he has Dvorsky at number 5 and then Michkov at number 6 going to Arizona. It's fixed, but but is there no, but like it's nuts how different it is. And then you even go to my God, where's the other one here? I'm on eliteprospects.com and McKean's top 32. Like he has Will Smith at number 5 and Michkov at number 4.
Yeah, so they're all gonna be close. But if Michkov, Sam, I'll ask you this. I know you probably know the answer. If Michkov was not Russian, he was American, Canadian, Swedish.
And no issue. There's no issue.
Yeah. What ranking would he be?
2.
There you go. Exactly.
He's still in my mind number 2. And you know what? I'm willing to bet. Fuck it. I'm willing to bet my right nut this time. That all these scouts still have, they really want to rank him at number 2. It's just they feel like they can't right now just because of all the bullshit going on.
That's what's going to be discussed by the GMs. And if the people cannot see him live, the scouts, people who rank them, GMs are going to take a long look at it and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't. And the fact that I'm thinking Fantilli's number 2, so I'm going after Fantilli. The fact that this is our only chance of having him, that there's two really good prospects after Fantilli, which is not Michkov, might save us. To me, the biggest tell is Columbus. If Columbus selects Will Smith, we have a good chance of getting Michkov, because I don't think San Jose passes on Leo Carlson at 4. But I do think they pass on Will Smith.
What if it goes Bedard? Bedard, Michkov, Fantilli.
I do not think the Ducks pass on Fantilli. You think they pass on Fantilli? I don't know, man.
The organizational need of a centerman far outweighs their willingness to take a risk.
If we're talking about our own GM here, who's smart enough to pick based on best available player instead of need, why aren't these other GMs thinking of that too?
Because we're more established than Anaheim, and I think Anaheim needs a centerman.
There's still we need a centerman too. So far, theoretically.
Good point, Sam. I think especially Fantilli and Michkov are so close in terms of how highly touted they are. I think you go at that point, the gap is too small to pick just best player. I think at that point you go.
Bedard's number 1. There's no doubt about it. Who's number 2? Who's got the better talent between Fantilli and Michkov?
I think it's Michkov, but I think that the gap is smaller than what you think. So if the gap is that small, at that point you go need. And Anaheim needs a center. They have Zegras. Do they have anybody else?
They have McTavish. Mason McTavish. Yeah, and I guarantee you Mason McTavish is heartbroken that they're not getting Bedard because he wanted Bedard. They played together for Canada. They won gold twice together.
That is true.
McTavish is heartbroken.
Well, look.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, with McTavish, it depends how he develops. He should be a
good
player.
He's going to be a top six. I'm not worried about him. Go, Chris. I know you want
Do they want three centers at that point? I forgot.
Zegras is going to go on the wing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, at that case, Zegras goes on the wing, then it works out. But I don't – I still think he leaves two.
No.
Sorry.
No, he's – you know, he kept having little anecdotes to add. But look, Anaheim Ducks – why am I thinking it's not Ryan Kessler, Ryan Getzlaff. They just lost him. I think a similar comparable Anaheim Ducks thrived having Ryan Getzlaff, big centerman
and Corey Perry.
Exact style of play. Yeah. I think it's no questions asked. You go with a winning formula that you just lost. Perfect replacement to come right in and kind Fantilli? Of fill those shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantilli. That's why I'm saying I'm so confident that Fantilli is just going to go second because that organizational need that they haven't had for 15 years, well, it just popped back up right now, and it's time for a guy who has the exact same build, just with more hair, is going to be coming in.
And Swedish.
No, wait a minute. Fantilli? Fantilli's Canadian, dude.
Fantilli.
Oh, Fantilli. I thought you meant Carlson. Yeah, that's right.
No.
I mean, look, you were saying it before, like if you, yes, you, your worry was Michkov being picked up earlier. At the end of the day, I mean, look, if Michkov's picked up earlier, we have a good chance of getting Carlson or Smith. And that's a win no matter what. So
we're in a good spot.
I think the only bad situation here, and I think you said this before, Joey, is Michkov being available and we pass on him.
I think that's the
scary part. Because if Michkov's picked earlier, then we're hands down getting Carlson or Smith, and just having one of those players is already a win for this
team. Exactly. But that's my biggest fear, is not going with Michkov. So you'll see me freak out on two scenarios. If we pass on Michkov, or when Michkov is taken before us, because I'll still be, it's not about Montreal, I'll just be upset he didn't come to us. But that is my biggest worry, is that we pass him on five and we take someone less talent because we're looking at being conservative. Because we can use a winger or a center. So in our situation, I think either one of us can work with Doc's flexibility. I see the draft playing two ways. If the top five are taken, if Bedard, Fantilli in both Anthony scenarios, I'll use in both situations, I think they're going one and two. I think Chris is on the ball. I think they're going to replace Getzlaff. This is perfect for them. Then it comes down to three. If Columbus takes Will Smith at three, then we will have a chance at Michkov at five, because I really think San Jose will truly consider taking Leo Carlson. If it flips the other way and three, Columbus takes Carlson, I do not think San Jose will take Will Smith. I think they'll take Michkov, and then Smith will come to us.
At too many scenarios, Joey. You're
too many scenarios, but you know what? All those make me happy, actually, knowing that those are possibilities.
Oh, yeah, like a Doctor Strange over there, just through all the different scenarios.
It's a small win to not drop. I predicted that we would stay fifth. I thought the two winners were going to be above us this year for some reason. Thankfully, they were. But biggest thing is we didn't drop. Now it's just pick the right player. Oh, damn it, just pick the right
player. I think something crazy is going to happen in this draft. I think we're going to see
Watch them trade back or something stupid. I even said it today. Give them the 29th pick. Take third overall and draft Michkov. I don't care. I'm saying it's the 29th.
I'm not saying Montreal's going to pull something crazy, but I have a feeling something's going to happen within the top five people. Like, there's going to be this crazy trade they're all going to be freaking out on.
No,
yes,
please.
Yes.
No, Anthony. That would benefit us. That would benefit us.
You're starting.
Let's see.
No crazy.
I'm going to piss off Sammy even more so right now. We're going to draft Michkov, which that's not pissing him off.
Mm-hmm.
But our top six, when we're competing for the cup, you're going to have the Doc, Caulfield, and Suzuki. And then you're going to be staring at Slafkovsky, Michkov, centered by Dubois. And that's going to be your top six fucking competing for the cup. Watch it. Watch it. That's my bold prediction. I get that feel.
That would be absolutely wonderful. Did you guys do a prediction of who do you think will fall to Montreal at five? Did you guys make any sort of prediction?
No, we just majority of the
cards. We didn't predict. We all gave our hopes and dreams and scenarios.
Okay, so what about prediction? Who do you guys predict Montreal will draft? Just name any player.
Smith.
I was just gonna say Smith too. There's something about that Smith.
Coming to Montreal. We just want to hear Will Smith songs at the.
I just want a jersey with Will Smith in the back and just like and wear the hat sideways at the game. Like that's. No, but all jokes aside, honestly, it's Smith or Carlson coming to Montreal. I don't see anybody else.
And you okay, and Chris?
Mishkov. I genuinely I hope for it. And I think there's something special between Montreal and the Russian players, Tretiak and all these things over the years. I think, you know, it's written in the sky somewhere. Mishkov is destined to come here and play and fucking dominate.
I think Columbus gets Mishkov.
I think San Jose as well. I don't think Columbus passed on a center. Anthony, the reason they are high on Will Smith is because they have a lot of playmaking wingers. Like Goudreau is the primary candidate of it. So you normally, if you have playmaking centers, you need a goal scoring center. If you have playmaking wingers or vice versa, you need somebody to score and somebody to.
Well, imagine Lee, but.
Leo Carlson isn't that. Leo Carlson is a playmaker first and foremost. Will Smith is a scorer. So it fits. Will Smith fits to Columbus at three, and I keep seeing that they like him because they have guys maybe. Like Voracek.
Imagine Will Smith. Like we have
Suzuki. They have Laine as well, but Laine, for some reason, has been putting up more assists than he has goals lately. I don't know what's wrong with him or what's going on with him, but they say Will Smith is a perfect fit because – having a goal-scoring center is good for Columbus. Anyways, this is what I've been reading. So if he does get drafted by them, then Mitchkov can fall to us. I don't know. I fully think
Smith will
go to Columbus. I think it's going to happen. I just have a strong feeling after everything I've been reading, looking at the players, what everybody is saying. Again, we don't know. And then I think San Jose still go with Mitchkov. I will say, for some odd reason, Carlson will fall to us. So okay. I'll go with Carlson. Although I want Mitchkov, I think Carlson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but let's hear ourselves here. Like, there's not one bad thing being said about these predictions.
No. And by the way, all five of them.
Dvorsky is the bad.
Dvorsky's going at six or seven.
Dvorsky isn't bad. He just isn't what the five are. I didn't even hear like amazing things about Dvorsky. I've actually heard better things about Leonard than Dvorsky.
Yeah, Leonard,
which is Will Smith's teammate. So if there's anywhere to look at, I would start looking. I don't know. I think Dvorsky is too safe, second line center type of vibes. He gives me
second, third line center. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to stay away.
No. It,
guys, the top five, from everything I've seen and read so far, they'd actually, in last year's draft, they would have actually been number one. All five of them would have been number one last year. So
it had to have been last year, our number one overall pick, huh? Or Bedard's parents. They couldn't fuck a year earlier, huh? God damn it.
It was like Sam, did you ever see that famous meme where it was Caulfield parents together?
Yeah, thank you guys for
having sex. Yeah.
Well, to Bedard's parents, no.
It's okay.
Caulfield wasn't even number one. He was
no, I know he was 15 because of his size. They were worried.
Okay, but again, look at that. He's number 15 and he's fucking better than Lafreniere and fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
so and don't the I'm not guessing the 14 teams, but don't at least five teams before us regret not taking Caulfield?
100%.
So imagine how I would feel if we do this to Mitchkov. Imagine how I feel he goes to Arizona and scores 50 goals.
And what happens if Mitchkov is a Lafreniere?
That what won't happen. The guy can score.
You were praising Lafreniere for you.
I would still take him. He's probably he's developing well in New York.
Lafreniere got screwed over. That the COVID drafts, let's call them the COVID drafts, got screwed over the most in terms of development.
100%. What I'm going to say is that.
Yeah, but Anthony, do you know not just Lafreniere, all of their young prospects, including Kako, are not really living up to expectations.
Oh, hold on a sec. That's because since when? Does a coach not put a first overall pick and a second overall pick 3 years in a row? Does not put them top six.
Give because them top six because minutes. They go get Kane. They have Tarasenko, Panarin. It's Chris Kreider. It's kind of
I
hard.
Understand that.
Tarasenko is a third liner at this point. Tarasenko is a fucking third liner.
You give those easily. Two top 6 minutes. They haven't done that. That's why they fired Gerard Gallant. I guarantee you.
I agree. That's why they parted ways. That's why it's not that I don't believe in Lafreniere. I just don't think New York is working out for him or other prospects.
No, I don't think so either.
What they're doing is they're trying to win a cup in free agency, and it's not working, obviously. No, they went to get Kane and Tarasenko while having Kreider, while having Panarin, and they drafted Kako and Lafreniere.
And Zibanejad.
And I was talking about wingers, but and Zibanejad at center. Like, they just tried to load up as much, and just obviously it's not working out. It reminded me of the time when Colorado went to go get, I'll never forget this, when they went to sign Korea
and Solani. Yeah.
And they didn't win the cup. They had Sakic, Forsberg, Hejduk, Korea, Solani, Tange. They had like literally the best six ever, I remember growing up, and they couldn't win the cup.
I remember that. Anthony's uncle, Marcel, fucking was.
And they still didn't win the cup.
And they still didn't win. And you, Joe, you and Anthony's uncle, you're like that little chihuahua that barks at the big dog because
of course.
Because Anthony's uncle's like 6'5", Viking size beard, looks like Peter Forsberg on steroids. And you have Joey fucking 4 feet tall in high school, just yapping. Colorado sucks. Colorado sucks. You get Solani Korea and you still don't win.
They only won the cup when they got Ray Bourque in 2001, right? They won in 95-96 with Juan Move, but that's
that was in 2003 when they got
Korea and Solani. Yeah, they tried
to hold them at the end of their cup. Practically at the end of their careers.
Exactly. I didn't know Anthony's uncle. Is it uncle or cousin, Anthony?
Cousin.
Oh, okay. I didn't know him back then, but when they got, I start to know him when they got Korean Solani, and they were just too old. Same thing with Tarasenko. It's just he had a good playoffs, but it's just to say for Lafreniere, it's not a place for him in Kako right now because they're trying to get all these has been superstar players and just pushing down the lineup, and they're not.
No, but I honestly think Lafreniere will be in a the moment he goes into another team and a better fit for him, he'll be the guy who we all think he is.
Let's trade our third round pick. I'll take him for a third round pick, no problem.
Huh. Well, New York.
I don't know.
Come on, Joey.
Back to our draft talk. Mitch Roff or bus or I rage. That's it. That's all. I just want a 50 goal scorer.
I hope to God we get together for the draft, huh? If we do a live on YouTube or something.
Let's do it.
I will make sure I have something.
I'm off. I work the day. I work because I have shift, but I'm off that night. So
June 28th is a Wednesday. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
Before we wrap this up, guys, and I know we were talking about Sam Montembeau, but don't forget he's going to be goaltending for Canada. At the men's world championship that starts Friday, May 12th, and a couple of Montreal Canadiens players are going to be representing their own country. Justin Barron, who's representing Canada on defense, which I think is pretty cool. For the Americans, you have Lane Hudson, Sean Farrell, and Luke Tuck. Did you guys see?
More interested in Americans than the Canadian
ones. Did you guys see Lane Hudson's shootout goal or penalty shot goal?
I saw. When you got highly skilled players.
Did you see him just deke the shit out of the poor German goaltender? The fucking jockstrap is hanging up in the rafters and still nobody went and get it. For the other countries, I don't know who else. Joel Armia is representing Finland once again, and he always seems to fucking...
He plays best hockey.
He looks like Wayne Gretzky out there like for Finland. Like, oh, okay. And you had a very not unknown goaltender prospect, but Frederik Dichow representing Denmark. So that's going to be interesting to see.
I think Hughes will pay attention to this, especially with Anthony says how Montembeau does and how he progresses.
This and I think this tournament is going to be key for Montembeau's progression, development, whatever you want to call it.
What I like to say, Sam, before you get onto it, what I like to say, I'll be having a smile if he has a shit tournament to force us draft a goalie. Absolutely. Jesus. I'm just saying, if it forces him to do it.
So look, I don't think it. I had a thought before we started this episode, and I went all the way back to 2002. Okay. I'm going to see if you guys get that. That's one of the hints. But if the Canadians do make the playoffs in the 2023-24 season, it's going to be because of, well, two things. One, because players are healthy, but the main reason is going to be because of Samuel Montembeau. And if that does happen, I think he pulls a Jose Theodore season and wins the Hart Trophy.
That's a bold statement.
I had that thought.
I'm joining the sick podcast with Marinaro. I'm joining the sick podcast, guys.
Really? That's a bold fucking thing.
Can we get an in on that? No, I'm serious. I don't know why. I had that thought in my head, thinking Montembeau. It's like, if the Canadians do make the playoffs, I don't think they will. I think they're gonna have a bit of like an Ottawa Senators type of season. They're gonna fight. They're gonna look like they're almost there, but they're just gonna fall short. You know, I think the Canadians are gonna end. They're gonna probably finish like this year. We're getting a top five pick. Maybe next year's draft we get a top 10 pick between, or maybe we'll pick between somewhere 5 and 10. That's where
I'm gonna mark this episode down when Sam said he'll win the Hart, we'll make playoffs.
No, but hold on. No, that's what I truly think. But hold on a sec. But I'm saying if the Canadians do somehow miraculously make the playoffs in next season, it's gonna be because of Samuel Montembeau. And if he plays that way, it's because he's gonna play like Jose Theodore in 2002 and he's gonna win the Hart Trophy.
I think so. The Canadians are going to surprise us next year.
The Hart Trophy, Montembeau. That does not process.
I'm sorry, Sam. I know you're sweating.
But if you're saying he's having a hard year, there's no way we do not make playoffs with him having a hard. You know that, right? If he wins the Hart,
I just said if we make the playoffs, it's going to be because of him. And if we do make the playoffs because of him, he's going to have a Jose Theodore type of season and he's going to win the Hart. Connect the dots.
Yes. I remember. Yes.
He will win the Hart Trophy because we made the playoffs.
I honestly, this, you know, every year we always say July 1st is going to be big and it's always a disappointment. I'm
done with July 1st and all that. My day is June 28th, and that's it.
I honestly think Hughes is going to be making bold moves on June 28th and July 1st. We're going to have a new picture for the Montreal Canadiens on July 2nd.
Don't tell me Dubois, please.
I'm not saying Dubois. Okay. I'm not saying any names. All I'm saying is that I feel like there's going to be some fireworks, and I feel like Hughes is going to surprise us all with his magic. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling something's going to happen.
We said that maybe in 2024, just again, for me, cap-wise this year, it's going to be
very, I know, the cap is what's screwing us, but maybe
next year, though, we will free up, we'll start freeing up more and more cap. I think next year is going to be a good year to start. I know it's long. I know it's a terrible process, but this offseason will be very hard. We're against the cap with shitty contracts.
Don't forget, we're over a million. We're 1.2 million in penalties, huh?
For paying bonuses.
We're not in a good position amongst contracts and the cap this year. That's why
timeline for Michkov is absolutely brilliant, and he can actually terminate if he really wants and come a year earlier if he wants. So. His dream was to play in the NHL. He might want to make that happen. But that timeline is good because we'll get rid of a lot of the crappy contracts. And hopefully by 3 years, we'll have Gallagher's contract. I'm actually being serious, resolved, because paying him in 3 years, $6.5 million.
Yeah, it's good. It's, ugh.
And yeah, Anderson, we'll see what happens again with him. Hopefully they can get those resolved, but and get the Dvorak, just get him out of here.
Don't forget, like Jake Allen and Jordan Harris are getting pay raises, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but hopefully Allen will be decided in 3 years. Like,
oh, in 3 years, yeah. But I'm talking about like now, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, they will. I know, but again, we're not ready to compete, so that's why no to Dubois and be patient on the process. No, seriously, Dubois, I don't want to give up an asset for him, so
me neither.
We'll see. I'm a free agent, I'm happy with it, but don't give up an asset.
Okay, I'm gonna just devil's advocate because we had this discussion in one of the other podcasts. You get to see him here in Montreal and see whether or not he's a fit at a price. That's the cost of getting him early. You get to see whether or not he's a fit. And then if he is a fit, then you can give him the contract.
It's a 1 year difference you're talking about now. You're giving up an asset to see him a year earlier.
Yeah, but you're testing. Depends the asset.
Why can't you test him when he's here on free agency? What's the difference?
Because the free agency, you're paying him right away.
Yeah, does he not have one more year left on his contract?
No, he's an RFA. He's an RFA, guys. Like, why? Yeah.
So like, if
but that's
if,
my point, there's no room to give him money.
No, next year you have to pay him what he wants. No, after the year ends,
if you trade for him now, you're still gonna have to pay for him.
You still have to pay him because he's gonna be because the only if he really, really, really wants Montreal, he signs a 1 year minimum, not salary wise, but minimum offer of 1 year at Columbus, and then he's a free agent. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, not Columbus.
Oh, Winnipeg. Yeah, it used to be Columbus with Winnipeg. So why would you test him? And he's not like he's going to be 28 or 29. The guy is 24. Why would you test him 24 here, giving up assets that test him at 25 for free? That's the difference. It's 1 year. It's not like he has a three-year deal and you can get him earlier. I get that. It's 1 year.
Do you think then if he comes here in free agency, do you genuinely think that he'll come here on a reasonable contract, and I'm speaking about the amount, not the term, but I wouldn't want to sign him, let's say, 8 years, $8 million, or 7 years, $8 million, because you can't get more than seven, but I wouldn't want to take that long-term risk on him. I'd like to see what he can do and if he's a fit. If he comes I'm completely in agreement. If he comes here 1 year, $7 million, no fucking problem. Like, by all means, come on board. We'll see what you can do, but I really, really, really don't want to give him a term.
It depends. We don't have the leverage unless Montreal trades for him before he signs a deal with Columbus. If he signs a deal with Columbus,
Winnipeg.
I keep saying Columbus. Wow. When he signs with Winnipeg, if he signs a deal with Winnipeg, well, we have to take his contract from Winnipeg, which Montreal has no negotiation. But if he signs a 1 year as an RFA with Winnipeg, you still have to sign him next year, or it's either you give up assets and you re-sign him in the new season, so you're still giving him a contract, or you don't give up assets and you sign him in free agency. The only way Montreal controls it is if you trade for him before he signs with Winnipeg. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay, one last thing then. What if, and this is what if, I don't want to fucking get into another Dubois talk. It's the 10th time we're fucking talking about this guy, but I haven't had the opportunity to have this discussion with you personally, Joe, and have your reflection. What if it means that we can offload a contract like Dvorak or even Gallagher at the price of, let's say it's the 28th first overall pick, and a contract like Dvorak? Would you do it under that case?
Do you, if you're Shevel Day off, do you accept that deal?
Exactly. They don't. Why would they take on a bad contract?
Do you accept?
You're going to lose everybody. You're going to lose Scheifele. You're going to lose Wheeler. You're going to lose Dubois. Might as well have a halfway decent. That's like a Stastny type player that you can get with Dvorak.
In that situation, which is extremely rare, yes, Chris, that's fine. It's because you're giving up an asset to get two back. And by getting two back is obviously Dubois, and you're giving up a bad contract. But I do not see in a world where Winnipeg will take on a bad contract. I can't see this happening. Why would they take on a bad contract? They're not in a Columbus, a Chicago. They're not in those type of teams where they can or Arizona, where they can take it. They're going to be bad. They're still competing for playoffs.
Chris, at 6.5, you're comparing Paul Stastny at 1.5. Like, there's no way. No GM's going to take that contract.
They have good players that are going to take over for some of these guys. Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Connor, they're going to be They're going to be a good team regardless.
Cole Perfetti is going to be a good team.
They're going to be a good team regardless. They're not going to take a freaking Dvorak or even at worst case on that Gallup. They're not going to do it. They're just going to
ruin their cap. I see them taking Jordan Harris on defense.
Yeah. But why would we give up Harris?
I'm just saying. If they're going to want to make a deal, we need a young defenseman, a young, good puck-moving defenseman that could play defense. Not that he's a puck-moving defenseman, but we all know what kind of game Jordan Harris can play. They're going to ask for him. 1,000%.
That's why I say you wait the year and you just take him for free. And we have our magical top six, Chris, with Michkov. So we'll have our magical top six.
Fair enough.
All right. This Dubois talk keeps popping in and fucking.
Imagine
they get him on July 1st. How crazy would that be? Anyways,
done with him.
That episode will be insane. Anyways,
it will be.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, this was a great episode. Joey, thanks for jumping on. We always love seeing your beautiful face. Nah, speaking of your beautiful face, I have our total capo card that I found in a bag from.
There's a soccer league card.
I have like 20 cards, the whole team from when we were.
I only keep my trophies that I won, total capo.
Thanks. On that note,
right? They're all participation trophies.
No, I won three. I have them all here. I'm looking at them. I won three. Three though.
That's three.
Three, like Michkov.
What? Oh, that's a sign. Oh, my God.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any podcast platform you have. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. And if you like what you hear or don't like what you hear, leave a comment. It's only going to make us better. And until next time, boys and girls, I think our next episode will be next week for round two wrap up.
Yeah, the conference finals for sure.
Yeah. So we'll be back.
The fucking Maple Leafs live to see another day.
Yes, they will. Until next time. Bye now.
Bye now.